Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, February the 12th, 2021, 13 and a half minutes past the hour. And the phone lines remain open today, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, right before we went to break, we did have a question from a lady here in Marion who is in the city limits, who needs help shoveling because we expect some more snow over the weekend. So if you are somebody who shovels, and this could go out to all the people listening right now, call in, let us know that you're willing to shovel, and people will be aware of it. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. Let us know if you are interested in shoveling snow, and if you are, we will pass that along to our listening audience. 740-383-9944. Also had a call before the break about the little red caboose, which now sits, we now know where it is, it's still on Fairground Street. It's in the parking lot between the Victory Center Church and the old car wash, which has been out of business for years on Fairground Street. It's back there at that trucking company's parking lot. And apparently the only reason that it's there is because when they were trying to move it from Center Street, apparently they knocked down some lines on Madison Avenue, which led it to be impounded and put back there. Impounded, and I guess nobody's come back since to get it. Now, does anybody have any more information on that? That's kind of an interesting story. 740-383-9944, and all the other things we were talking about this morning, the bank robbery that took place in downtown Marion. I think it was the National City Bank. Would have been in the 50s. Does anybody know anything about the labor disputes that went on at the factories here in Marion? Does anybody know anything about the big pants that once hung on the wall at depot sales? Are those pants just lost forever? We'll never see them again. What do you think of the buffets opening back up today? Self-serve restaurants, they call them. Now, you have to wear a mask when you go up to get your food, but other than that, that seems to be what's going on. First time since March of 2020 that's been allowed to happen here in the state of Ohio. So that's going on. And other than that, I think that's pretty well what we've talked about. Nan Britton's love letters from President Harding, those have never turned up. We don't know where those ended up. Or if there's anything that you're interested in from this area, history-wise, that you remember, that strikes a chord with you, give us a call. 740-383-9944. Again, anybody who's interested in shoveling snow, give us a call, and we will get your number out to the listening audience. It's all fascinating, in a way, that people remember different things. Like, one of the things that I always remembered very well was the Fair Park Sundries and Dorothy Northrup, who used to run the Fair Park Sundries. Now, a lot of people don't remember that very well. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott.
Hey.
Does anyone remember, I think it was late 70s, early 80s, I think it was Meister's or McBride's corner of South Prospect and Superior, little drugstore there, that was robbed, and there was a hostage situation. I was a kid and would walk to that store a lot for their penny candy, and I remember that vividly.
Really? So somebody, now this would have been in the 70s?
Probably late 70s.
Late 70s.
And it was, the guy had, I mean, it was a drugstore, too, and I think he went in looking for drugs, helped someone hostage, and if I remember right, it was several hours.
Really? Now, do we know what the result of it was? Did everything turn out okay?
It did, yep. No one was hurt, thank goodness.
That's good. Now, these other things, does anything strike a bell with you? Why do you think we cannot find the big pants?
I mean, they're so big, they've got to be around somewhere.
Well, they've got to be. And, you know, I don't know, is somebody just hiding out these big pants? I don't understand. What do you think of the buffets opening back up today?
I personally would not partake, but, I mean, proceed at your own risk, I guess. I think it's kind of early for that, but hopefully I'm wrong. We'll see.
Well, you know, I'm still trying to figure out, you know, we seem to be in a little bit of a down period now where the numbers are going down, which is nice.
Yes.
So that's all good for people. But I don't know if we're going to do exactly what we did last year and we're going to, when the numbers go down, start opening things up, which caused the numbers to go back up. I don't know. I'm not
exactly.
Really sure.
That's my fear.
Well, I just don't know if that curfew ever did anything.
No, I don't think so. I never saw the sense in that. It's kind of ridiculous to me.
Yeah, it's interesting. So it was, you say Meister's was the name of the place?
It was, I think it used to be called Meister's, and then it was McBride's. It was a drugstore. It was kind of, you know, you could go in, and all the neighborhood kids went in for candy, and owned by a super nice couple, an older couple. But yeah, it stuck out in my brain from my childhood. I'll never forget that.
Interesting. Well, let's see what we can find out about it.
Alrighty.
Hey, thank
you. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, phone lines are open. Now, there's something from somebody's memory that I don't think I've ever heard about. Does anybody remember in the late 70s a little pharmacy, candy store type of place, Meister's or McBride's, on South Prospect and Superior that was robbed, and somebody was actually taken hostage? Does anybody remember this? What an interesting story that would have been. 740, thank goodness nobody was hurt. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Does anybody remember the hostage situation that took place over on South Prospect? Go ahead, caller.
Hey, didn't Ted Babbage used to own the depot at the inn, the turning?
You know, I thought the Babbages were involved in some way with that, but I don't know if they know where the pants ended up.
Yeah, maybe that'd be a good question to try to get a hold of them. I remember the hostage situation. I want to say the gentleman's name was Dennis Cook. I wouldn't swear to it. And I know they held him out to the sheriff's department, and eventually someone threw, I think, a shotgun over the fence to him, and he escaped, but they caught him again.
Now, where was this at? What was he?
It was the guy that robbed McBride's in the late 70s, maybe 80, 81 even. But
his name was Dennis Cook.
I believe it was Dennis Cook. Don't quote me on that, but I would bet $10 on that was his name. But
now,
I was just a kid.
Do we know why he was doing this?
Yeah, it was narcotics he was looking for.
Oh, so it was a drugstore.
Yeah, it was a drug. Yeah, back in the day, McBride's. Yeah, they had a pharmacy in there.
Oh, so he was just trying to get some drugs.
Yeah, it was on TV. You know, the helicopter flying over, and you see people you see sheriff's department standing behind trees and poles.
Oh, that's interesting.
Stuff like that. But I was just a young one, but I do remember it.
Wow. Well, I appreciate the information, and maybe one of the Babbages will be out there listening, and we'll find out about these big pants.
Well, if they don't, we'll take them to court.
We'll have to. We'll have to. Get the lawyers.
That's right.
Thank
you. Lawyer, we'll hire them.
That's
Thank
right.
You.
Bye-bye. Well, there's an interesting lead on the big pants at Depot Sales. Ted Babbage. Does anybody remember Ted? Know what he's doing nowadays? Does he still have the big pants in his possession? I don't know. Any thoughts on this? 740-383-9944. Well, a lot of people apparently are remembering the hostage situation that took place in the late 70s over at McBride's on South Prospect Street. Possibly a Dennis Cook was involved in this and took somebody hostage looking for narcotics. How about that? I wonder if Dennis Cook's still around. You know, that's the interesting thing. These people get involved in these bad situations, but do we ever hear from them again? Where do they go? Where do all the people scurry off to? Is there something else in Marion's history that's of interest to you? 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott.
Hey.
I think it was in the early 80s, 80 or 81, of the hostage, and it lasted 4, 5, 6 hours. I know WMRN was live, you know, and broadcasting all the time on it, and it was pretty interesting. I only live about 2 or 3 blocks away from there, and it was Bob Babich that owned Depot Sales, not Ted.
Oh, Bob.
Yep.
So, well, that's interesting about this hostage situation. So we ended up finding out it was really all just about the narcotics.
Yeah. And you know, McBride's was a pharmacy, a big pharmacy. That's where Kroger's got their license, you know, to McBride sold his license to Kroger so Kroger's could start a pharmacy.
You know, I remember that, and I think Russell McBride.
He worked there for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think he just retired in the last couple of years.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, he worked there for quite a while.
But you know, that same store is where later, where what's her name that just died?
Martha.
Martha, her husband. He worked there. That's where he worked for a while.
Oh, he spent some time at McBride's.
Yeah. Well, I think it was after McBride's when it was Meister Brothers, I think, maybe.
Now, what did Meister Brothers do?
Yeah, it was just like a drug store, but they didn't have a pharmacy then. It was just a food store, basically.
So when the hostage situation took place, it was just somebody working the counter who was taken hostage?
I think there was typically only one person in there, yeah, so that would probably be the worker, yeah.
But it was definitely a big news event back then.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a shame that something like that could happen. Are there any other big news events that you remember?
Oh, probably the biggest is maybe when National City Bank was that area caught fire, you know, or the big fire down there where the gas station is there on corner of David and West Center, you know, that's how they got that space for the gas station. Everything else burned down.
You know what's interesting? What I was just thinking when you were bringing that up, you know, there were two, and you know, this is kind of a touchy subject, and I think this is why people don't bring it up, but there were two very well known businessmen, and there have been others, so maybe people won't get exactly who I'm talking about, but these very well known businessmen kind of owned bars / they were restaurants,
yeah,
in a way.
Things that burned down.
Well, these two gentlemen, I think, both were labeled as suicides. And I think there was always a lot of mystery surrounding what happened to them. Because, you know, they were for most part, seen in the community. They were successful business people. I think both of their businesses were still opened when they did this. And, you know, when something like that happens, a suicide, everybody has a different story as to why it happened.
You never know.
You never know why it happened. But I remember those two incidents going on, and it, you know, a lot of times even it was, I don't want to say it was covered up, but, you know, very rarely in the newspaper does it say somebody died of a suicide.
They don't want to accuse.
Yeah, they don't want to. They don't want to paint the person with that with that brush. But you know, those things have gone on. There's a lot of things funny in Marion that have went on that just have kind of stayed under the news radar.
It's different if we're on the inside versus what you see on the outside.
Well, do you remember? I don't think how anybody could. It was probably the biggest funeral ever at the Coliseum when Officer Winfield was killed.
Yeah.
And then there were, you heard 10,000 stories as to why that happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think anybody still really knows what to believe when it comes to that.
Nope. That was pretty sad. Don't know why he let somebody in his cruiser without checking them for guns, you know.
Well, that was the weird thing. And, you know, who knows what it was. My understanding, it was pretty close to night or early in the morning.
Yeah.
And he was alone, and that he didn't know these people. I don't think he knew them. And let him get in the cruiser without...
Yeah.
Sir,
and I'm not... them in for a gun, you know, if it's... they're suspicious at all, which, unless you know them, I would check them.
Well, the odd thing about it to me was I'm not even sure why he had thought they were doing something that they needed to be in the cruiser.
Yeah.
That I don't, and I don't think anybody, I don't know if we'll ever know.
Well, you don't know since, there's no trustworthy person to tell you.
That's right. You never know in a situation like that. But hopefully one day these things come out. I think it's unfortunate that the families have to go through hearing all these stories.
Oh, yeah.
90% of which probably are not true.
Right. They suffered enough loss and without having to hear things like that forever.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, I appreciate the call.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, there's a lot of that, too. You know, there's the big news in Marion that gets published in the newspaper and the radio covers it. But there always is that, I don't know if you call it an underbelly, but there are things that happened that everybody gossips about. And that's why gossip can be a very bad thing, because, you know, the family, it does get back to the families of these people, what people are saying, and 90% of the time, the stuff is just completely untrue, what people are saying, and I don't even know where people get their information. It's very strange. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you, somebody would really know a lot of things would be Jack Kellogg.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, they had him on the show on WMRN before, way back. But Jack was the mayor for, about 20 years, seems like. Real nice guy, you know?
Oh, yeah, we've had Jack on here 3 or 4 times.
I bet you that'd be the one. He could tell you a lot of things. And another thing, you could go to Chamber of Commerce someday and look back at records. They would have a lot of things, like about old Marion. You know, when you talk about Tecumseh, I think at one time they had like 1,500 or 2,000 people worked there. And the shovel, they had more than that worked there at their plants. And I can't say really the truth about it, but I know they was big employers. They was big. And, you know, I was at B.F. Goodrich. And every 3 years, we was on strike out there. We was union, too. And, you know, when we went out, we'd be out 10 weeks, 12 weeks. When we went back, it was the same package they offered the first week on negotiations, usually. But every 3 years, you'd count on being on strike.
So nothing ever really changed?
No. I mean, you've got to have a union. Don't get me wrong. Kinda. But you can't go too far left or too far right. You got to be sensible. And some of these union leaders would get in, and they wanted power, and they would do things, and it didn't make sense. It didn't make sense for the people. and you know you're talking about suicide, you know, sane and insane, that's a very thin line. You can be sane today, and tomorrow you go crazy. You know, that brain's a funny thing.
Well, it's...
It picks you off, and you go crazy.
Well, it's interesting, because the two gentlemen that I'm talking about, who, you know, I'll tell you, without saying their names...
I know who one is.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. And the one was a total shock to everybody, but I remember when he was found dead, I think everybody pretty well knew that was a suicide, but they kept, I heard everything from the business was in trouble, to he was going through a divorce, to he owed money to people that were kind of organized crime people. I mean, you just heard everything under the sun as to what happened to this person.
And, well, I think... Oh, go ahead.
No, and it was... And then the other person who I'm talking about... Now, this has been in recent years, the last 5 years. I remember talking to his daughter, who did not have any idea why it happened. And a matter of fact, at that point, I don't know if it's changed since then, but I remember the person's daughter was telling me that she was sure it wasn't a suicide. Now, that could have just been because she didn't want to believe her father did that, but she was just absolutely adamant that he did not commit suicide, and she did not want it reported that way. And that was weird. So, I don't know.
When that happened, on the one, they had that under investigation for a long time, the Marion Police Department. And then all at once, you didn't hear nothing about it, you know. And they first thought it was suicide. Then they wasn't quite sure of that because the way the bullets went into him, you know. So I don't know. I didn't hear any more about it. It just kind of hushed up.
Well, and that's,
you know,
even you know, and it's a horrible thing. The Officer Winfield murder. You know, I remember after that, you know, the town was so upset, and they broadcast the funeral from the Coliseum over the radio, and yet, even with that, you had all these rumors afterwards. What was, why would he let them in his cruiser? Did he know them? Why didn't he call for backup?
He didn't know him. He was just trying to help the guy out, and there you go again. You know, I used to pick up hitchhikers. I wasn't afraid, but today's world, you know, you can't count on everybody the way they are today. They're not real. They're fakes. You know, we don't have very many real people anymore. People say this and they don't do nothing. They don't do nothing. But he was a nice guy. He was a nice guy. I know the Winfield family. It was all nice. And when that happened, it was a shame because he's trying to help somebody out, and that's what they did.
You know, my question about that is, if that is the case that he was just helping out a hitchhiker, why did they do what they did? Why did they feel so threatened?
Well, I don't know, because he was a different nationality, and maybe he had a hatred for police and stuff. You know, I don't know. You wonder why when you do something for somebody, and then they turn on you. And you just tried to help them out. You know, in today's world, if you say thank you and different things to people, some of them just look at you like, what do you want? I don't want nothing. You know, if I give you some praise, I give you some praise. Because most of the time, I won't, you know. But, you know, on information about Marion, Chamber of Commerce would be the thing to look up some records. That would be really interesting because they should have all that.
Yeah, I'll see. You know, I'll see what I can look up. Well, I appreciate you calling.
And you're going to hold Jack Kellogg because he's interesting to talk to.
I'm trying to think when Jack. I think we had Jack in right before the pandemic started, and we've had a couple good conversations. Jack's a good guy. I covered him when he was mayor.
I don't know about his health now or nothing, but he was a good mayor. I like Jack. He was a nice guy. You could go talk to him anytime. He would listen to you. You know, he started out there at Sears. Well, he was in the insurance business at one time.
Right.
Then he worked for Sears out there. And, you know, when he worked for Sears, I thought he was a little bit stuck up. But that was just his way. He was just, I didn't know him. See, the other then, I thought, well, you know, he's kind of above everybody, but he wasn't. Once I got to know him, no, he wasn't. He was a good mayor.
Yeah, you know? Good guy. I've never had anything but good.
I'd like to hear him on the station sometime because he's interesting.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get him back in. I'm not sure. Usually he and his wife go to Florida for the winter, but I'm not sure if they did this year or not, so I'll have to give him a call.
Okay, I'll let somebody else on the line.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, phone lines are open. Remember, if the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else. Give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. But Jack Kellogg has always been a great guy, always been very good to me. I've never had a bad experience with former Mayor Kellogg. And I think I told the story not too long ago here on the station that one time I had asked him to do a proclamation for somebody naming the day. I think it was Madge Cooper, the late Madge Cooper. I had asked him to do a proclamation for her because we were honoring her, and he said he would, and he would come present it, and then the week that we were going to present it, his wife died, and she'd been battling cancer. And I thought, well, there's no way he's going to come. Maybe he'll send the proclamation over, or somebody else will come read it. That's what I thought would happen. And then the night of the show came that we were honoring Madge, and there was Mayor Kellogg. And he showed up, and he read it, and he did exactly what he said he was going to do. So I always have a good feeling about Mayor Kellogg. Just nicest man. Nicest man. 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open here. 740-383-9944. If there's anything you want to say about anything we've been talking about. And we do know now that it's Bob Babbage who owned the depot sales as our pursuit for the big pants continues. We don't know where they went. The big pants just disappeared. And the whole hostage situation that went over on Prospect Street at McBride's in the late 70s, early 80s, apparently was a narcotics situation, somebody looking for drugs in a drugstore that turned into a hostage situation. And then there were all these little stories. And like I say, I don't want to say the names of these people, but they were business people. And you always hear all these stories when somebody has a bad episode. Especially if it's a suicide. You know, it just becomes very tense. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I'm going to ask you a question real quick, and sorry it doesn't directly tie into any of your little stories you're talking about. What's going on with that gas station or whatever it's going to be there on Delaware Avenue, right catty close from that drive-thru?
Now which one's this?
You know where Subway's at, and then the old photo finisher that has been
out of
business forever, and then on the other side of the street. It looks like it's going to be a gas station, but that's been a long time coming. They've been working on that forever.
Well, I think a lot of things got slowed down when the pandemic started because I think a lot of these businesses, and I don't know this for sure, but I think what happened is a lot of these businesses thought that if I open during the pandemic, that's not going to be good because usually a grand opening is the business's busiest time. And I think that's something that's happened. And I think also codes got increased for construction workers doing work. I think that little gas station, which it was a gas station at one point.
I can't remember the name of it, but you're right, it was.
Yeah, it's kind of came and went all these years, and I'm not really sure why they can never stay in business or why it's constantly changing hands. It just has never been a place. I think, you know, Kroger's down there and what's the other place that's down there?
Speedway.
Speedway's down there. So I think
I would like to go to that Sunoco because it seems like you just can't beat them as far as prices.
Well,
they're the cheapest in town right now, I do believe.
Well, has anything happened with that restaurant we were talking about a few weeks ago?
I was just thinking of that as we were talking about this gas station. I thought, well, we're waiting on a lot of things, right? We've Red Roosters and gas stations and all that. Nope, I go by here. And the funny thing about that is it don't look like it's open for business, but the sign is lit. It looks like it's lit up. Like there's light there, you know? And I just thought, well, if it's not open for business, why would there even be, why would the sign be on?
There's a lot of stuff like that that goes on, you know, and I'm not really sure why it goes on.
There's so many things around here, I'd like to see them just bulldoze and, like that ice sheet of car wash out on Fairground. Lord, I'm 40. Ever since I've been a little kid, that's been dilapidated. I like to see somebody level that. And even if they just sprinkled some flower seeds out there and grew some flowers, anything would be better.
You know, I don't know why that... I wonder who owns that land, because that has been so dilapidated for so long.
I know, that's why I said my whole life it seems like it's just been... looking like that.
But do you remember what put them out of business?
No.
Tornado.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wasn't, I don't think a tornado touched down, but we had a big storm where there was a lot of wind and it did some damage to it. And I don't think they were doing a lot of business at that time anyway.
I never knew we had a tornado around here.
Well, it probably wasn't classified as a tornado, just a high wind storm that was pretty bad. And it
that was enough to put them out of business?
Well, I don't think they were doing all that much business before that.
Oh.
So I think that they were not going to pay to repair anything.
Hmm.
I remember that. Now, I think that pretty well led to the end of it, but it's just been sitting there.
And going back to, the gas station across the street there, that photo finisher, Lord, it seems like we've been forever in a day with that, too.
Maybe they're waiting for photos to come back in.
Oh, I don't know. I feel like you're trying to be funny now, Scott, so I'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye. No, I don't know. You know, it's an interesting thing. Does anybody have any information on the gas station there on Delaware Avenue? Or that Rooster's place out on, I guess, would you consider that Route 4? I don't know. The sign lit up, but we really don't know what's going on there. And wasn't a tornado, because I don't think we've had a tornado, but it would have been like a high wind storm that brought an end to the car wash on Fairground Street that we're talking about. Does anybody remember that? 740-383-9944. That's the phone number. Any thoughts? 740-383-9944. And remember, if the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on calling back in. But stories about these things, it's very hard to get a definitive story on something like a suicide. And maybe that's one of the reasons, because nobody's there when it happens. And nobody really, how do you really know why somebody does something? I think in the end, you don't really know. I don't know how you know. I guess some people write notes sometimes, but I don't know if those ever become public. I don't know if the family ever sees those. You really don't know. It's very strange. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
I had the gas station there on Delaware Avenue for many years was Curran's. Sonny Curran owned that. And his Curran's has now moved up to North Main, next door to Rally's, I believe. They do auto repair now. But they sold off the gas station part.
Interesting.
Yeah, and the car wash, I actually remember that storm because I was at my dad's and his van caught on fire because of lightning nearby or something. And that's the same day that a car wash got hit by a tornado or wind or whatever that was.
Yeah, you know, I said I don't think it was a tornado, but it was still open, I remember, and it was probably open through the mid-late 80s, but then this bad storm came, and it knocked over some of the walls, and I just don't think it ever reopened after that.
No, it didn't. That was around the early to mid-80s, like you said. The ice sheet of concrete next door owned it, and that's all out of business now, too.
Now, do we know anything about the car wash out there now? Or not the car wash, the gas station. Is it going to reopen? Are they doing anything there?
I saw the guys working on it like the other caller, but I don't know anything about it personally. I like to joke that it could be an Olive Garden someday.
Well, we all want the Olive Garden, don't we? We all want that Italian food. Have you been out there and seen the Rooster building on Route 4?
The old Trotters Club, right?
Yeah, I think that's where it is.
I haven't. I didn't know anything about that. I know it was Trotters and then Cruisers, I believe. They had pretty good pizza.
You know,
two or three years ago.
You know what I'll tell you? It's something that just popped in my mind. Does anybody remember? I'm sure you do. A few years ago, it was probably the last big destruction of fire that we had in Marion, when the old, what was it called? Scotch and Sirloin burned down.
Yeah.
And
clubs in there, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, that was strange, because it burned down, and I remember for a long time there were police cars parked out in front of there every time you passed while they were clearing up the debris, and I don't know, that business never came back. I don't think they've ever opened back up, and nobody ever really said what the final word on that whole thing was.
I couldn't really tell you. I've heard, but I don't know for sure. I know some of the people who are involved in working there and owning it and stuff, but the 29 Brew Pub was downstairs, and that loft bar was upstairs.
Right.
I'm not sure if the Brew Pub, they decided to move on to something else. They used to be out on around 95.
Yeah, the brew pub was out where Panda Express is now, where Conway's
right.
was, and then
yeah.
they moved downtown for a minute, and then they ended up out in that building, and I remember, you know, and again, it's stories, who really knows, but that the owners were out of town when it burned down, and never really heard what the cause. What, I mean, was it wiring? Was that what somebody ended up saying?
As so many stories, I don't know.
Yeah, but you know, they never opened back up, which is what I don't think the place upstairs ever opened back up anywhere else, did they?
No, unfortunately, they're all nice people. Everyone involved, I enjoy going out there.
Yeah, that was an awful fire. Boy, oh boy, that was just terrible. Well, hey, thank you for the information and thanks for listening.
Hey, I've got a big memory for you of something in Marion people might not remember.
Oh, go ahead.
The water tower at the Marion Power Shovel, when it burst and flooded that area in the mid-80s, that's why there isn't a water tower there anymore. I don't know how many people would remember when that happened, but I was in elementary school.
So it.
I thought that was kind of neat.
So the water tower just old, no maintenance kept up on it?
I don't know why it would have burst, but it did. Somebody else, I'm sure that was a big deal for the Power Shovel employees. Maybe one of them could call and tell you more about it.
Huh. Well, let's see what we can figure out. Thank you.
Yeah. Have a good day.
All right. Well, there's another story for you. What about the water tower over next to the old Marion Power Shovel that burst and flooded that part of town? You know, that one I don't remember. Does anybody remember that? Of course, I never really lived in that part of town. So I might just have been oblivious to that whole thing going on. But does anybody remember when that water tower burst over there? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Interesting stories from Marion. That's where we are this morning. And also talking about people in the history of Marion who have had unfortunate endings that we really don't know the answers to, and probably are never really going to know the answers to, because I don't know how you find out. I don't know how you know. I think it's all just a guess, and sometimes when you guess a lot about things like that, it ends up just hurting the families of the people involved, and you really don't want to do that, but heavens knows, people like to talk. Anytime something like that goes on, people like to talk. I don't know. You know, I always wonder where a rumor like that originates. That somebody has to make it up. You know, you can hear it and repeat it as truth, but somebody at some point had to make that up with no information at all. And that's the sad part of a situation like that. But here we are. 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. Does anybody remember? I don't remember that at all. The water tower bursting by the old Marion Power Shovel and flooding that area of Marion. That's something I have to say that I don't remember. And we've also had a lot of calls about the robbery that led to a hostage situation over at McBride's on South Prospect Street. That's interesting. Bob Babbage, we've learned, owned the old depot sales. Maybe he knows where the big pants are. Obviously, we have not been able to locate the big pants that were once on the wall at the old depot sales as of yet. And we think we even came up with the name of the person who was involved in the hostage situation over at McBride's. Not the hostage, but the person who took the person hostage. Dennis Cook, we believe, was his name. So there you go. All kinds of interesting stories. Nan Britton's letters. What else were we talking about this one? There's just many of these things that we don't have the answers to. Does anybody have the answers, or anybody have the memories? And of course, that old car wash out there on Fairground, we all remember that well. The storm came in, knocked over the walls, and it never opened back up. And here, 30 years later, the car wash still stands there dilapidated. So that's the way that goes. That's how that story all shook out. And now the little red caboose is over there in between the Victory Center Church and that car wash in an impound lot. That's a fascinating story that I had not heard. Go ahead, caller.
That was Joe Hartley at McBride's pharmacy back then. It was Joe Hartley, and then he went on to be a drug counselor at MCI prison. And here about 5, 6, 7 years ago, he died of a heroin overdose.
Oh, so Joe Hartley was the one who took the person hostage.
Yep, it was Joe Hartley. I knew him very well.
Did you know Joe well?
Yes, I did, and I went to the when all the flashing lights was going on there at McBride's. I walked down there to see what was going on. There was Joe Hartley sitting inside there, eating drugs while the police was outside. I'm very familiar with the situation.
Now, do we know why he chose that place, or why he took the person hostage? Did he know the person he took hostage?
He was in there on drugs when he went in there, and he wanted some more Vicodins, and police surrounded the place, and that's why he took the hostage. He just sat there and kept eating drugs the whole time. The police was outside. And it was probably 4 or 5 years later, he went on to be a drug counselor at MCI prison.
Now, did he do much time for that hostage situation?
I don't think he did. He went to counseling and become a counselor himself.
And then he died a few years ago of a heroin overdose.
Yep.
Now how old a guy was he?
He's probably, he'd be about 55 right now if he had lived.
Boy, I don't know if we really know, but when he was doing the drug counseling, was he clean then, do we think?
He'd go to the, AA meetings and all that.
How long did that standoff last over there? How long did he have the person hostage?
It was a couple hours the whole time, and the whole time he just sat in the pharmacy area with his back to the counter, kept eating drugs, more drugs, more drugs.
So he just finally let the person go?
Yeah, opened the door, told him to get out, and the police come in and grabbed him.
Ain't that something? My goodness. Well, I thank you for the information.
Yep, I'm familiar with it.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep.
Well, there you go. There's some insider information on the whole event that went on over at McBride's. 57 minutes past the hour. We've still got more time here this morning. 740-383-9944. See, and it's inside information like that. That's how we're all going to learn. So not Dennis Cook, Joe Hartley. And apparently Joe obviously had a drug problem in those days, and thank goodness did not harm the hostage. Ended up as a drug counselor. How about that? And then, irony of ironies, dies of a heroin overdose a few years ago. These illnesses, these diseases are just horrible. Horrible. And obviously were demons of Joe Hartley's life for many, many years, it sounds like. Telephone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Anything about Marion is the topic this morning, but a lot of input on the robbery that went on at McBride's. I hope the first caller who called in this morning has been able to listen to the whole program and hear all this inside information about what went on over there on Prospect Street at McBride's in the late 70s. Bob Babbage, we don't know, Bob. Where are the big pants from Depot Sales? The never-ending story. Does anybody remember the water tower that used to be over by the power shovel bursting and flooding that part of town? Really only one remembrance of that this morning. Maybe that wasn't, I don't remember that, but I'm sure it happened. I just don't know what the ins and outs of that would have been. Let's see here. Well, that's a lot of the stories we've been talking about this morning. Anything else stick out in your mind? 740-383-9944. Nobody really remembered the National City. I think it was National City Bank that was robbed downtown in the 50s. That was also, I believe, a hostage situation. And then, of course, we had... the little Red Caboose story is interesting because apparently the Little Red Caboose is just impounded on Fairground Street at this point, because when they were moving it from Center Street, whoever bought it when they were coming down Madison, because of, I guess, the narrow nature of the road, they tore down some lines, and that led to the impounding of the Little Red Caboose, which apparently now sits on Fairground Street in a impound lot in a trucking company between Victory Center Church and the old dilapidated car wash. Well, you know what? We're going to do some Family Feud and take some more phone calls after this short but important 15-minute break. Obits, news, and weather right around the corner.
And do the show. That shows me a lot.
Well, I...
more your kind in our game.
Well, I have to say, and we're feuding on into next 28